The United States has a new Republican president, Illinois has a new Democratic senator, and in Springfield, state Republicans picked up 4 seats. Today on the 21st, we'll look at how the vote for Donald Trump went in Illinois and go over all the state house races you may have missed in the news over the national presidential race. We've got political analyst David Yepsen with us and IPR State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky, and we'll get your reaction to last night's vote.
I am very disgusted, first of all, because I don't think Trump is fit to be president.
I suppose the first thing to say is that I'm not a U.S. citizen, which suddenly became a very concerning thing this morning.
I love what happened last night, and I'm going to pray for Donald Trump for that what he said he will do, he does.
Give us a call with your reaction at 1-800-222-9455. President Obama is also expected to speak shortly. We'll carry that live. That's all coming up this hour on the 21st, but first the news. It's the day after Election Day. You're listening to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo.
I pay attention to it by word of mouth, but I really don't watch the news, so. But, like.
Did you hear that Donald Trump has been elected president?
Really? That's in the ground, official, really. That's it?
Became official at around 1:30 this morning.
Well, good luck. That's all I have to say.
I am very disgusted, first of all, because I don't think Trump is fit to be president. But, you know, you just gotta plan your own future. Just focus on yourself, I guess, now.
I suppose the first thing to say is that I'm not a U.S. citizen, which suddenly became a very concerning thing this morning. Feels a little bit less secure to be here.
I love what happened last night because the possibility. I can't imagine being a guy between the age of 24 and 48 and not having a job or no possibilities. You take away a man's dream and you've taken his life.
It's a very dark, dark future for America and a rollback of all the social changes that has been made.
I hope he turns out to be a lot better president than he is what he is now.
I'm just going and I'm going to pray for Donald Trump for that what he said he will do, he does.
The votes are in. As you've been hearing all morning, Donald Trump has been elected to become the 45th president of the United States. Those are voices of people at the Illinois bus terminal station in Champaign this morning. Thanks to producer Christine Herman for that audio. Here in Illinois, Democrats picked up their only win in the country for the U.S. Senate with Tammy Duckworth. As for state races, Democrat Susana Mendoza defeated Republican Leslie Munger for state comptroller, a race that was widely viewed as a proxy between Governor Rauner and House Speaker Madigan. How did other state house races fare? The more than $30 million poured into state races paid off for Rauner. Republicans picked up 6 seats in Springfield. And what does all of this mean? Not just for the nation, for our state, and for our state budget stalemate. Give us a call and share how you're feeling, what your reaction is this morning. We're going to be talking about this all this hour. Our number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show, 21ST Show. We're awaiting word from President Obama. He is expected to speak from the White House shortly. We will be carrying that live. Right now, we're joined by David Yepsen. He's a political analyst and former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University. David, good morning.
It's good to be with you.
David, your reaction, first of all, to yesterday evening, before we get into how Illinois voted, because I'm looking at a map here, and the map for 2012 versus 2016 is a lot less blue for Illinois, even though Hillary Clinton did win the state. What's your overall reaction, first of all, though?
Well, wow. I mean, I don't think very many people saw this coming. I certainly did not. And so it's my first reaction was one of surprise. And so we start looking into why this happened. And I think as I reflect back on the evening, there may be some good news here. And it goes like this. We may be finally as a country about to do something about the issues of income inequality. Now, that was a big part of Bernie Sanders' campaign. Secretary Clinton did talk about it, but that's the thing that drove a lot of Donald Trump's supporters. As one of your people at the bus station said, you know, you take away a man's job and you take away his dream. And the message out of this is rural America and many, many other Americans, as far as that goes, felt like they had been left behind by this booming economy. Many of them felt that way in 2008, which is why they voted for Barack Obama. 8 years later, they don't feel things have improved. And so perhaps, and they voted for Trump. And so perhaps, perhaps the country will come to a consensus that now we've got to do something to bring along people who have been left behind.
David, as I mentioned, I'm looking at an electoral map of Illinois. Of course, Illinois was the one spot in the Midwest that ended up going for Hillary Clinton yesterday evening. But when you look at this map, it's stark, the difference in how many counties went blue this time around versus, and by my count, David, I'm not sure if you looked at this map, I've got less than half of the counties going for Hillary Clinton and voting Democratic in 2016 versus 2012. All of the far western edges of the state, out of those that all voted Democratic in 2012, the only one that I have going for Hillary Clinton was Rock Island. Everything else flipped. And there's a couple other places that also flipped, but that was the main huge area that was a striking difference to me. What do you think is going on there?
Well, winning a third term is difficult, and it was difficult for the Republicans in 2008, and it was difficult for Democrats in 2016. And the reason is Americans want change. We're a country that's always moving on, looking forward. And so you look into those rural areas that were coming out of the George Bush presidency in 2008, and they wanted change. They wanted something different. And here was this fresh, aspirational leader in Barack Obama. He really captivated a lot of people. Fast forward 8 years, many of those people still feel left behind. The young people, particularly the millennials, they're still having a hard time getting a decent job and feeling like they're part of the country. And so it was enough to tip the balance in states, even like Illinois. He didn't win, of course, but he did well in many of those regions. But certainly in other states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, it was enough to put that state in his column.
Well, and that, as it turned out, was where the polling was colossally wrong in terms of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That, in the end, was the difference in the early morning hours this morning. And I want to ask you about that and polling in particular, because when we look at Midwestern states, you and I had a conversation around 9:30 yesterday evening, David, where you said that you felt like maybe that you were starting to realize that you felt like the polling, particularly in Midwestern states, was off. And I wonder what you think now this morning as we look at particularly polling in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
Well, as we were talking about last night, it wasn't cool to be for Donald Trump. He is a controversial candidate. And a lot of people, he appealed to them. They liked what he was having to say about a lot of things. But, boy, you sure didn't want to stand up publicly very often and say that. And so I think when pollsters, in some cases, and it's called a shy Trump voter, they're shy about standing up for Trump. I think in many of these cases, they were unwilling to tell a pollster that they were for him. Now, when they went online and did some online polling, responded to online polling, they were freer about expressing those views. So I think one of the things that the polling industry is going to be looking at today will be this phenomenon of people not only not responding to polls, which messes them up, but also were they too reluctant to respond truthfully. And I think that was a big part of what was starting to unfold yesterday.
David, when we look at the polls that you all conducted, recently retired, I should say congratulations on your retirement. I haven't had a chance to say that to you yet because it seems like you're still working. But you are the former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University.
Right.
You did massive amounts of polling of our state in the past few months. And we did see that many downstate counties were going to be going for Donald Trump. What is that? What happened yesterday evening? Did you think that the polling that you did, was that in line with what happened?
I think so. I mean, we had a good sample size. We saw that Secretary Clinton was likely to carry her home state. We saw that Senator Kirk was in trouble. We saw that the Leslie Munger was in trouble in the race for controller. So I think I felt good that we saw the shape of this thing to come. I haven't been through all the percentages, but we could sense that there was something that was starting to unfold there.
We're taking your calls and tweets. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show, 21ST Show. Jesse in Southern Illinois says, as someone from Southern Illinois, I'm tired of my vote not meaning anything to the way my state votes. In all caps, we are not Chicago. Let's go to Maria Vasquez in Urbana. I believe this is the Maria who's been a frequent guest on our 21st Airwaves. Maria, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Maria, you're the head of Chief Latinas for Trump in Illinois. How are you feeling this morning?
Exhausted. It has been a long night. It's been a long campaign. It's been grueling. I can say that I am completely overwhelmed of the response, the reactions, just everything. I can't say that I am 100% happy with everything, just because I know that there are a lot of people out there that were expecting different results, especially in this area, that, are angry, they're frustrated, they're sad. And, my heart does go out to them. But at this time, the people have spoken. They have elected Mr. Donald Trump as president, and we have to stand behind him.
So, Maria, it's interesting because I've talked to you many times on the air about this moment and whether or not you thought it would happen. And it's interesting for me to hear you say now that it has happened. There is a part of you that feels like also recognizes that it sounds like from what you're hearing from the people around you, this is a really difficult moment also.
It is. People talk about throughout the whole campaign. I've heard people talk to me about how they feel that, Donald Trump has divided people, that they bring hate, that he has brought hate to everyone. And I'm sorry, I don't feel that way. No one can make you feel hate, and no one can try to divide the country unless you allow them to.
So then at that point, Maria, let me ask you, we just got a tweet from Meg in Champaign, and I wonder what you would say to Meg. Meg just tweeted, okay. I'm a total mess, to be honest. I'm disheartened. I'm afraid. I'm outraged. But most of all, I'm devastated that this is the country I live in. What would you say to Meg?
Meg, we have to look on the brighter side. We have to, as a country, as everyone, have to unite and make the best of it. It's time for action. We have to, this whole campaign, we've talked the talk, both parties have talked the talk. Now it's time to walk the walk. I've seen reactions. I've seen reactions, especially from women, how they're devastated, how they thought that they would, yesterday would be a historic event for them and that they would see a female president. For me, I'm sorry. I want to live in a country that gender and race doesn't play a factor in the election. I want to, wake up and be able to say, this is the president based on, their policies and what they're going to do for the country and their beliefs and, their passion to make the country better, not because they're female, not because they're Democratic or Republican, just to, have the passion to make the country better. And I'm sorry, I have to believe that someone with no political background that used his own money for a lot of his campaign has one goal in mind, and that is to make America better for everyone. We're all Americans. We need, minorities, stop oppressing yourself. Stop saying, he's not my president because, this or that or whatever. If you feel that way, I'm sorry. Minorities, again, if go out and get educated. Go out and, find these jobs.
Maria, I'm going to stop you there because it looks like we're getting close to President Obama coming out. But I want to thank you so much for calling. That's Maria Vasquez in Urbana. Maria, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me again.
We've been waiting on President Obama to speak this hour. And so we want to just sort of keep an eye on that. It looks like there's a little bit of movement. Not yet. Sorry, a little false alarm there. This is what happens with live radio. Sorry, that was a speechwriter who looks like just went to the podium. Sorry about that. If you would like to join our conversation, our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. David, wonder if I could go back to you for just a minute or two here as we're waiting for President Obama. As you're hearing the tweets that we've been getting and Maria's thoughts about everything, I mean, we are at a point, and I wonder if you can give us some perspective on the division that we've seen. I wonder if you can give us historical perspective on the political polarization.
Well, we are a polarized country, and frankly, we have been for some time. I mean, you go back to 2000 and the division that occurred in the country over in the Bush v. Gore race. So we've been divided. It's polarized. There are a lot of reasons for that.
David, let me stop you there because it does look like President Obama is about to come to the podium. Again, we've been waiting on President Obama to speak. He's just gotten to the podium. Let's go live to President Obama.
I shot a video that some of you may have seen in which I said to the American people, regardless of which side you were on in the election, regardless of whether your candidate won or lost, the sun would come up in the morning. And that is one bit of prognosticating that actually came true. The sun is up. And I know everybody had a long night. I did as well. I had a chance to talk to President-elect Trump last night, about 3:30 in the morning, I think it was, to congratulate him on winning the election. And I had a chance to invite him to come to the White House tomorrow to talk about making sure that there is a successful transition between our presidencies. Now, it is no secret that the president-elect and I have some pretty significant differences. But remember, 8 years ago, President Bush and I had some pretty significant differences. But President Bush's team could not have been more professional or more gracious in making sure we had a smooth transition so that we could hit the ground running. And one thing you realize quickly in this job is that the presidency and the vice presidency is bigger than any of us. So I have instructed my team to follow the example that President Bush's team set 8 years ago and work as hard as we can to make sure that this is a successful transition for the president-elect. Because we are now all rooting for his success in uniting and leading the country. The peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy. And over the next few months, we are going to show that to the world. I also had a chance last night to speak with Secretary Clinton, and I just had a chance to hear her remarks. I could not be prouder of her. She has lived an extraordinary life of public service. She was a great First Lady. She was an outstanding senator for the state of New York. And she could not have been a better Secretary of State. I'm proud of her. A lot of Americans look up to her. Her candidacy and nomination was historic and sends a message to our daughters all across the country that they can achieve at the highest levels of politics. And I'm absolutely confident that she and President Clinton will continue to do great work for people here in the United States and all around the world. Now, everybody is sad when their side loses an election. But the day after, we have to remember that we're actually all on one team. This is an intramural scrimmage. We're not Democrats first. We're not Republicans first. We are Americans first. We're patriots first. We all want what's best for this country. That's what I heard in Mr. Trump's remarks last night. That's what I heard when I spoke to him directly. And I was heartened by that. That's what the country needs. A sense of unity, a sense of inclusion, a respect for our institutions, our way of life, rule of law, and a respect for each other. I hope that he maintains that spirit throughout this transition, and I certainly hope that's how his presidency has a chance to begin. I also told my team today to keep their heads up, because the remarkable work that they have done day in, day out, often without a lot of fanfare, often with a lot of attention, work in agencies, work in obscure areas of policy that make government run better and make it more responsive and make it more efficient and make it more service friendly so that it's actually helping more people. That remarkable work has left the next president with a stronger, better country than the one that existed 8 years ago. So win or lose in this election, that was always our mission. That was our mission from day one. And everyone on my team should be extraordinarily proud of everything that they have done. And so should all the Americans that I've had a chance to meet all across this country, who do the hard work of building on that progress every single day. Teachers in schools, doctors in an ER clinic, small businesses putting their all into starting something up, making sure they're treating their employees well. All the important work that's done by moms and dads and families and congregations in every state. The work of perfecting this union. So this was a long and hard-fought campaign. A lot of our fellow Americans are exultant today. A lot of Americans are less so. But that's the nature of campaigns. That's the nature of democracy. It is hard and sometimes contentious and noisy. And it's not always inspiring. But to the young people who got into politics for the first time and may be disappointed by the results, I just want you to know you have to stay encouraged. Don't get cynical. Don't ever think you can't make a difference. As Secretary Clinton said this morning, fighting for what is right is worth it. Sometimes you lose an argument. Sometimes you lose an election. You know, the path that this country has taken has never been a straight line. We zig and zag, and sometimes we move in ways that some people think is forward and others think is moving back. And that's okay. I've lost elections before. Joe hasn't, but, you know. So I've been sort of sharing.
Remember, you beat me badly.
That's the way politics works sometimes. We try really hard to persuade people that we're right. And then people vote. And then if we lose, we learn from our mistakes. We do some reflection. We lick our wounds, we brush ourselves off, we get back in the arena, we go at it, we try even harder the next time. The point, though, is that we all go forward with a presumption of good faith in our fellow citizens, because that presumption of good faith is essential to a vibrant and functioning democracy. That's how this country has moved forward for 240 years. That's how we've pushed boundaries and promoted freedom around the world. That's how we've expanded the rights of our founding to reach all of our citizens. It's how we have come this far. And that's why I'm confident that this incredible journey that we're on, as Americans, will go on. And I'm looking forward to doing everything that I can to make sure that the next president is successful in that. I've said before, I think of this job as being a relay runner. You take the baton, you run your best race, and hopefully by the time you hand it off, you're a little further ahead. You've made a little progress. And I can say that we've done that, and I want to make sure that handoff is well executed, because ultimately we're all on the same team. All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
President Obama speaking. saying that the race, as he's always said, is like a baton, and saying he's going to hand that off to President-elect Donald J. Trump, who he has invited to come to the White House tomorrow to ensure that there will be a successful transition, saying he's going to offer Donald Trump the same professional level of courtesy that President Bush did with him, pointing out that they had significant differences. You're listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. President Obama just spoke. It's the day after the election. On the air with me, David Yepsen, political analyst. We're taking your calls as well. 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. We heard President Obama with a specific message to young people. We've got a caller, Betty in Champaign, who wanted to share her thoughts on yesterday evening. Betty, welcome to the 21st. What are you feeling?
The thing that I spoke with the gentleman that put me on air is I'm 67 years old, and I have never lived through such an awful campaign between not just Hillary and Trump, but Trump and all of those others that were trying to become the candidate that we chose. And my son went to vote yesterday, and he had told me, he said, "Mom, I can't vote for a man that is so bigoted and so hurtful to other races of people and women, etc." And I said, "Son, you just vote. Your vote counts." Well, then when we stayed up and we saw that the electoral vote went to Trump even before all of the other states were counted, and then this morning learned that Hillary won the popular vote, my son looked at me and he said, "Mom, never ask me to vote again because my vote will not count."
How old is your son, Betty?
Electoral vote.
Betty, how old is your son?
Yes, this was my son. He's at work. He gets up at 4:00.
How old is your son, Betty?
He's 27.
Betty, thank you so much for your comments. I appreciate it. That's Betty in Champaign talking about her son. As President Obama just said to young people, don't get cynical. Don't think you can make a difference. Again, our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show. David Yepsen, let's go to you. Your thoughts on what President Obama has said. I wonder how much you think the tone he has struck is what we've heard, frankly, all in the past 24 hours from President-elect Trump to Secretary Clinton to Donald Trump, trying to heal the division that we just heard in Betty's voice there.
You know, in the last 24 hours, we have heard three very classy, very uplifting speeches. As I was listening to Secretary Clinton this morning, after having listened to Donald Trump, I thought, my goodness, I wish we could have had this
what kind of election would it have been if we'd had this tone the entire time?
Betty wouldn't have felt this like a lot of other Americans.
I did think that at 2 in the morning also when I was watching Donald Trump. Yes.
So we had three very good speeches. The country's starting to come back together. That's a normal thing to have happen. We lick our wounds and move on.
Right. And as President Obama said, the sun came up today. The sun will continue to come up. Before we move to more local politics, David, just one final reflections on what you think this means for national politics. Just kind of curious your thoughts.
Well, the Republicans are in control. They have the presidency. They have the House. They have the Senate. And so the game's on them. And if they don't produce and if Americans don't feel that things are getting better, the Democrats are going to be right there, coming right back at them in 2 years. It'll be an off year. President Trump, it's always a tough year for the White House. So Democrats may be down, but I don't think they should feel out.
That's David Yepsen. He's a political analyst. He is the former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. We know that we have calls from folks. We are going to get to those in the hour. So continue to call 1-800-222-9455, 1-800-222-9455. Let's go to Mary Ann in Springfield. Mary Ann, welcome to the 21st. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm very disappointed. And I actually turned Trump off anytime I see his face. I never watched his TV show because I thought he was wacky even then. But, you know, I have two sons. One's down in Arkansas. He's a diesel hydraulic mechanic. He owns his own business. And the other day he said to me, if the immigrants come in and got good workers, I'd hire them. He's been trying for 2 or 3 years to get a good mechanic down there. And he said the only one he got was 51 years old. And that kind of business is hard on you. I can't even lift up his tools. And the other son up here in Springfield said the same thing.
And so, Mary, how are you feeling this morning?
Me? I'm feeling mad. I don't understand why they said they want change and then turn around and put in the same congressman that they've had. That's not change to me.
Mary, how old are you?
I'll be 90 in January.
You're 90 in January. And it sounds like you voted for Secretary Clinton. Am I correct?
Oh, yes.
And how much of that was about you wanting to see a female president in office? Was that something important to you?
That was part of it. But as I said, I could not stand Trump. And
Mary Ann,
my son the other day, if he wanted to move to Canada, I'd be right behind him.
That's Mary Ann in Springfield. Mary Ann, thanks for your call. Again, our phone number, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. David, I did want to get to the one win for, you were talking about Republicans being in control now in Washington. The one pickup that happened in Illinois was Tammy Duckworth being elected to the U.S. Senate. She's the only Democratic pickup. Of course, Tammy Duckworth, a Democrat, serving in the U.S. House of Representatives for Illinois' 8th Congressional District in West Suburban Chicago since 2013, beating incumbent Republican Mark Kirk, serving one term. I just wanted to play a little bit of Representative Duckworth and her victory speech yesterday evening. Let's hear that.
With the circus that has been the 2016 election coming to an end, these challenges will still remain, but so will the opportunities. And it is up to us to meet them. It starts with a basic understanding that no matter who you voted for today, we are all in this together. President Kennedy told us that our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's futures. And we all are mortal. If the President of the United States can summon that kind of grace and understanding at the height of the Cold War, surely, we can find it in ourselves to give our fellow Americans the same benefit. Hear, hear. And that's the spirit that I will bring to work in the Senate every single day. While there may be disagreements with my friends on the other side of the aisle, which is healthy, I pledge to start with the presumption that my colleagues, regardless of party, love this country as much as I do, and that all we want is what's best for our children.
Representative Tammy Duckworth, now we can say Senator-elect Tammy Duckworth. There will be two Democrats in the Senate for Illinois in Washington. That's her yesterday evening at her Chicago campaign headquarters. She was very gracious in thanking Senator Kirk. They are supposed to be meeting at the Billy Goat Tavern in Chicago on Friday for a beer. David Yepsen, one quick thought that just struck me as I was listening to that. Again, as you're saying, the respectful tone we've heard from politicians, these speeches in the past 24 hours, it's a little ironic, I was thinking, the tone that we're hearing from politicians after all the bitter partisan rancor that all of the voters today still seem to be holding on to. I guess it's a really tough question how long it's going to take for voters to be able to shift a tone in the way that politicians seem to have been able to flip that switch in the past 12 hours.
Well, it takes some time. I sort of wish more politicians would have been having a beer or two together down at the Goat earlier. It might have improved the tone. These are adversaries. They're not enemies. And they care about their country and they care about the state. And it's healthy to see this coming together. I think when people see leaders getting together, setting aside this partisanship, I think it enables people to heal as well and to move on.
Let's go to another caller, Sarah in Springfield. Sarah, we're just about to break. If you can make your point really briefly, I'd really appreciate it. What are you thinking this morning?
I'm just I'm a millennial, so I haven't seen a ton of elections, and obviously this is the second one for me where the popular vote once again went against what happened, I guess, with the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another wave of that disconnect from our national government seeing that happen, where you're constantly being encouraged to vote and participate. And in a local election, your direct participation might have a lot of impact, but it's like it's at the national level, it clearly, there's a lot of being able to go into certain places and break off people in a certain way that it swings the electoral map, regardless of what, you know, the majority might think. And it just feels cheap in winning that way, in dividing everybody by these different groups, in talking about them, and then dividing the map in ways that you just target certain areas where you're like, oh, we got a good spot here. Let's go in there and get that. And nobody is really trying to figure out what to do about any of our problems or give realistic solutions or talk in a way that would have any impact with what we really need here in America and abroad.
Thank you so much for your comments. It's Sarah in Springfield. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about that. Does your vote matter? Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st. Thanks for tuning into The 21st. This November 9th, it's the day after the election. All hour, we're still reacting to the stunning upset of Donald Trump winning the election yesterday evening. We've got all folks from Illinois calling in. I know we've got other callers. We're going to get to you. I see some tweets as well. David Yepsen, I just want you to respond to Sarah in Springfield saying, and this has come up a couple times, right? Given the Electoral College, does each person's vote matter? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Electoral College originates with the founding of the country. And the founders were worried that of the small states were worried that the big states were going to overrun them. And so we set up this system of called an electoral college. We set up a system of the United States Senate where every state gets two senators. And that has how the deal came about.
Any chance that's going to change, David? Do you think
No chance, because the small states won't go along with it and they would be needed to ratify a change.
We had planned most of this hour to go over all of the state house race results with you. We know a lot of that's been overshadowed by the national election. We know that everyone wants to talk about that. We're going to talk more about state house races tomorrow, but I do want to bring on IPR State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky, who has been working nonstop the past 24 hours. Amanda, just really quickly, I wonder if you could just give us a quick summary of what we saw in the state house. We saw Governor Rauner spending more than $30 million for actually a pretty decent result, at least six pickups of seats in the House of Representatives and the State House. Amanda?
So, yeah, you did see most significantly, I think, cutting into the supermajority that Illinois Democrats have in the Illinois House. You also cut into Senate supermajority, but they still have one, which means that in the Senate, Democrats can override a gubernatorial veto without any Republican help. That will no longer be the case in the Illinois House. So I guess it depends on how much money you have and what you think of that as in terms of a return on investment, but it definitely does change the equation. And some of the losses were pretty significant when you look at the close ties that losers had to unions, looking at incumbent Representative Mike Smitty of Hillsdale, or also connections, for example, Democratic Representative John Bradley down in Southern mm-hmm. Illinois.
That was a race we were watching pretty closely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jerry Forby.
So tightly aligned mm-hmm. with Madigan, given that Bradley is just one of his top-ranking officials. So there's that. And also you did have, for example, some Republicans in tight races holding on. Only one loss there in the Illinois House with Dwight Kaye, who's from near St. Louis. And then Representative Michael McAuliffe, he is the only Republican representing a port of Chicago, and Democrats poured a lot of their own resources. They weren't quite matched with Rauner spending, and of course it didn't come from any one individual's pocket like it did with Rauner and a couple of his well-funded allies. But nonetheless, Democrats did pour a lot of money into trying to take that seat from McAuliffe, and they didn't get it.
That's Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief. Amanda, I know you've got to run. I know you've got to run to see Senator-elect Duckworth is on her way into Springfield right now, right? So we'll check
exactly.
back in with you. Yes, I know we're going
to
be hearing, as always, you'll be hearing Amanda on your airwaves later on this afternoon and into this evening. And we'll do a more thorough exploration of the State House races and implications for the budget in future programs on the 21st. Amanda, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We know that there's still lots of callers who want to weigh in on the national election here in Illinois. You can give us a call. We've got about 10 minutes left on this conversation. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. Before we go to another call, David Yepsen, just a quick thought on how much you think Governor Rauner prevailed yesterday evening. A Republican Governor Rauner who now, in the past 24 hours, looks very smart for having never said anything about Donald Trump.
Yeah, Governor Rauner advanced his cause. He picked up seats. That was important to him. But here's the deal. Governor Rauner is a Republican governor. He's still governor. Mike Madigan is still going to be speaker. I think you're going to see the gridlock continue. Democrats are very bitter about all the spending against them. The 2018 race for governor has just started, and I don't think Democrats are going to be bending over backwards to do anything to make Bruce Rauner look good. So, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, I think a lot of the animosity and bad blood in Springfield is going to continue.
What do you think? What do you think this election means in terms of a budget? All summer we've been hearing after the election we're going to pass a budget. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, you'll hear some people say they don't think there's going to be a budget as long as Bruce Rauner is governor. At a minimum, you've got some agencies and state universities that are desperate to hold on. I could see a series of stopgap measures that go on to just, you know, patch over the fact we don't have a budget.
David Yepsen is my guest. He's a political analyst. He's former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show. Let's go to Meg in Champaign. Hi, Meg. Welcome to the 21st. What are you thinking this morning?
What I'm thinking about is the fact that I'm seeing a lot of fear from the people around me. And, you know, I could talk about policies and values and whatnot all day, but what I really want to emphasize is that there are a lot of people who are really afraid for their rights and their lives, even in some cases. I've seen tweets from Muslims saying that they are afraid to wear their hijab in public today. Because, you know, Trump won't take office until January, his supporters are, you know, everywhere, and they're worried that this may invigorate certain Islamophobic feelings. And so I suppose what I'm trying to say is that, you know, this isn't just about, your party didn't win. This is about, you know, a lot of people feel like this is going to significantly affect their lives for the next 4 years.
Meg, thanks for that comment. Let's go to John in Springfield, if we can. John, welcome to the 21st. What's your comment or question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lesson to be learned about polling in all of this. I wonder how many people, when the results were coming in, I saw a lot of counties and even states going from blue to red. And I wonder how many people, because Hillary was so far up in the polls, felt like they shouldn't go vote because they didn't really need to.
Yeah, that's always a good question.
Up, so. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder how many people possibly stayed home because of that, and then how many of Trump supporters possibly
came out. It had the adverse effect.
Out.
Right, the reverse effect. Yeah, that's a great question, John. David Yepsen, that's a tough one, but what do you think?
Yeah, I guess I disagree. I think there was a lot of passion on both sides, and I think the race tightened up considerably at the end, and the Clinton people were worried. So I tend to think that people got their supporters out, that there wasn't a lot of complacency.
What do you think we saw for turnout in Illinois, David, while we're talking about it?
I don't have a good answer for that. I haven't looked at those numbers to know the total. I think the registrations
were running ahead, something like a couple.
Right, and we saw some really interesting early voting totals, and it'll be really interesting as we go through all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I assume it was a pretty good turnout, if not a record.
It looks like we've got another caller. Let's go to James. James, are you from Texas, but you happen to be in Illinois today? Welcome to the 21st.
Well, thank you.
What's your comment, James?
Well, I originally asked him why the statement that y'all give is...
How are you feeling?
Talking about the upset of Trump winning. I'm just wondering why it has to be an upset. Why can't it be exciting?
And that's how you feel?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great.
But the station just represented that it's an upset.
Well, I think by upset, we mean a political upset because of expectations of polling. So that's what we meant by that. Just the fact that, and that's what we've been talking about, the fact that the polls had a 30% chance, which is still a 30% chance. So when you look at different probabilities, let me ask you this question, though, James. What excites you about Donald Trump being our next president?
I think he brings, if he keeps the promises he's given, I think he brings some hope. I mean, he is a businessman. We're down terribly financially. Jobs are down. Working on pipelines, and I was afraid that if Hillary got in, she would end the pipelines. I really feel like one of the things I'm really against is abortions, and I know that he said he wants to try to turn that around, and I totally agree with that. I just hope he keeps his word and does it.
That's James, who is visiting Illinois today. Thanks, James. Thanks for giving us a call.
Thank you.
David, you know, to James's point, just about the whole notion of polling and the question of upset, which I actually think is a good one. When we look at the margin of error in this poll, it is something where I wonder if just as people, when we look at the statistical probability of her winning, of Hillary Clinton winning, which was sort of the conventional wisdom going into yesterday evening, I think we tend to think, well, if there's, I'm thinking about the 538 poll that was about 70% chance for Hillary Clinton, 30% for Donald Trump, we tend to think it's a wrap and we forget about that 30%.
Well, that's right. And I think pollsters today, our prognosticators like 538 are having to do a lot of introspection. Look, even before this election, we knew that there were all kinds of problem polls. People not responding, not enough cell phones called. And so the polling enterprise has always got to be asking, is there a better way to do this so we can find people? But at the end of the day, remember, no poll is a predictor. It's a picture of public opinion at a point in time. So the fact that somebody is ahead 3 weeks out doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be in that position at the end. And more and more people decide later and later what they're going to do in elections. So that makes polling difficult.
David, we just got about a minute left here. And I just wonder, as we've heard the voices this hour across Illinois, I can't help but think of how reflective they are of our country. We have people who are very excited on the one end and people who seem terrified and upset and are crying on the other. Where do we go from here?
Well, time heals a lot of wounds. I think it's a good sign that President-elect Trump and Secretary Clinton and President Obama are sending the signals that they're sending. I think there's got to be a time of healing, and it's very important that our leaders stand up and lead and try to work together, because above all, people want some results. They want something done, particularly about this income inequality issue. That drove a lot of the Trump vote. White men, non-college, upset with their position in life. And so presidents and people in both parties have to come together to try to fix that problem. If we can be solving problems, then I think some of the passions will cool in America. But I agree, it's a sensitive, emotional time the day after any election. It just takes some time.
David Yepsen, political analyst, former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. David, I feel like you and I have been together for the past 12 hours here on the air, but I appreciate you being with us all of this hour. Thanks so much for joining us, David.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank everyone who called and tweeted as well. This has been a very dramatic 48 hours, not just for our state, but for our country. And we wanted to end today's program with some voices we've heard across the state, starting from when the polls opened yesterday morning until right up until a few hours ago.
I think this election is polarizing people so much. I think it's important that everyone comes out and really votes how they feel.
Well, I'm feeling very relieved. I just came out to exercise my right to vote.
Tired, but I got up and I came out and did it.
But I'm the first person to
to work with whomever the president is, just like this president, or I disagree on so many issues with. We've got to be able to send a message to the American people that their voice has been heard.
With the circus that has been the 2016 election coming to an end, these challenges will still remain, but so will the opportunities, and it is up to us to meet them. It starts with a basic understanding that no matter who you voted for today, we are all in this together.
Thank you, all of you, for helping to make this historic moment possible. This is the first time that a Hispanic person runs as a Democrat for any statewide office in the state of Illinois.
I love what happened last night because the possibility. I can't imagine being a guy between the age of 24 and 48 and not having a job or no possibilities. You take away a man's dream and you've taken his life.
It's a very dark, dark future for America and a rollback of all the social changes that has been made.
I am very disgusted, first of all, because I don't think Trump is fit to be president.
I'm just going and I'm going to pray for Donald Trump for that what he said he will do, he does.
Voices from all around the state for the past 48 hours. We're all in this together. I want to thank everybody who called and tweeted and hope you continue the conversation with us. You can follow us on Twitter. It's 21STShow. You can join our Facebook page. We know lots of conversations we're going to continue to have here and in the coming weeks. I want to thank the 21st team who's been working so hard the past 48 hours. We're produced by Hala Delahi, Christine Herman, and Sean Newman. Technical direction from Jason Croft with help from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our news director. I also want to thank Joe Yoon and Nick Vance from the University of Illinois Social Media Analytics Lab for their research help. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Take care.